I want you to take your Bibles tonight. You bring a Bible tonight? Amen. I'll be using the King James. Hope that don't mess you up too bad. Amen. But, you know, I was going to make copies of this and give it out to everybody. But anyway, go ahead and open your Bible to Ephesians 2. I'm not going to go back and cover what I talked about last week, but I'm going to kind of continue on with it. Ephesians 2, and then Romans 2, and then just kind of hang there in Romans, and we're going to look at some other things. Something just caught my eye last Wednesday. I'd usually try to stick with, I've been keeping track of what I preach on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Sunday school, different things like that, and I try to do series, and that kind of helps me with my study and get a lot of stuff done. And I'm kind of breaking away from the series. I know we were in Second Peter, but I'm kind of just something got my attention last Wednesday afternoon, and I just started just chasing Bible verses down and looking at things, and had a question in my mind, and I went to the Lord, and God answered it, and God's pretty good that way. But it was the idea of how we are when we are saved, when we are born again. How is it that the Bible reckons us, and how does God view us, or how does God see us? And was going back over these notes again today and kind of putting them in a little bit of an order, and I was just thinking in my mind, what is this deal of the new man, and what does it mean? And if he says that there's a new man here, what about the old man? What happened with him? Is he still around? Or what's going on with that? And was going through these verses, and I got this little thing up here. It's up here on the screen. There's a verse up here. It says Romans 6. It says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. And I'm going to kind of explain that here in a little bit as we move along. But what you're looking at up there is a picture of the old man and the new man, and I'll show you how it works here in just a little bit, all right? But let's kind of get our bearings here. I had you turn to Ephesians 2. It says in verse 15, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body, by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. If you flip over to Ephesians 4 and verse 23, the Bible says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. What does that mean? That means the stupid stuff you used to think, or the stupid way you used to think, you don't really think that way anymore. And I just run into people over time. I never forget the first time I saw a liberal saved. Was down at our church at Richwoods. There was this young lady, and she was pro-abortion. She was pro this and pro that, and I mean, she was just liberal as the day is long. And I didn't know that about her. And anyway, her husband started coming to church. She started coming. I mean, she come down the altar and she asked God into her heart. And I didn't really preach a lot of politics stuff, you know, then like I do now. I was kind of trying to keep it safe, you know. But I mean, all of a sudden she'd just stand up and give testimony. She said, you know, before I got saved, she said, I used to think it's okay to have, for a woman to have an abortion. I used to think that was all right. And she said, I got something in me that tells me that ain't right. Amen. She's been renewed in her mind. Where's that verse again? Yeah. Renewed in the spirit of her mind. And now all of a sudden she just gets that some things are wrong. Amen. She just understands it that way. And then he says in verse 24 that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Not in our self-righteousness, not in our version of righteousness, and not in our version of holiness. Because every man will try to want to lower God's standard a little bit to make himself look like he's holy on the outside. Now, I've got something here in my notes a little bit later on. We'll get an understanding that those who try to dress up the old man to make it look good are usually the ones that don't have a good inner man. It's all a show. Amen? Not always, but a lot of times that's what you'll see. And so anyway, I was just kind of thinking about this thing of the new man and the old man and how that works and everything, how it applies. So we go to Romans chapter 2. And I want you to look at verse 29. I'm going to move through some verses, then I'm going to try to explain, if I can, this graphic up here on the screen. I'm going to try to get it out of my head and get it into your ears so that hopefully you can understand it. Romans chapter 2, verse 29. The Bible says, "But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God." And if you know anything about Jews, they glory in the seal or the sign that God gave to Abraham. They glory in physical circumcision. They glory in that. They say that that's God's sign to us that we are his people. And they boast about that. And Paul here, who was a Jew, who had been circumcised on the eighth day, he was of the tribe of Benjamin, he knew all about that stuff, but he said, "Let me tell you who the real Jew is. The real Jew is the one who's been circumcised in their heart. The real Jew is the one who is God's people on the inside of them, not on the outside of them. On the outside, we like to boast, don't we? Anything we got that looks good, we like to boast about it. We get some kind of new piece of jewelry, want everybody to say, 'Oh, that's a nice ring you got,' or 'That's nice hair you got,' or 'Well, that's a nice sweater, Pastor Mike, you're wearing,' or whatever it is. We like to boast on the outside, but God is more concerned about with you, with what's on the inside of you." Can I hear you say amen? So I want you to look up that picture up there, and let me get my little, my nifty green laser light here. Look at that. My nifty green laser light. I want you to look here at this little seed. This seed kind of looks like maybe a bean. How many of you got a bag of dried beans in your pantry? Raise your hand. Okay? Those beans will stay that way for a long time, won't they? That's our forefathers traveled across this country with beans. Why? Because they'd keep for a long time. Okay? But what happens when you take that bean, you put it down in the ground, you cover it up? What happens to that thing? Something happens. It changes. Okay? So watch this. This right here is the Word of God. It is the seed, the incorruptible seed that Peter was talking about in 1 Peter chapter 1. He said, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Over there in Mark and in Matthew and Luke, they all talked about the parable of the seed and the sower. And they said the seed was what? The seed was the Word of God. Who is the Word of God? It's Jesus Christ. So I want you to get this concept here. Okay? Here is the Bible. Here is, let's say, a Bible-based sermon or a tract or somebody. You were reading the Bible like old Max Palmer. We was talking about Max Palmer the other day. Max Palmer was in the Guinness Book of World Record. He was one of the tallest living men at the time. You remember him? Big old fella. Big whopping fella. He was almost 8 feet tall. And he came to preach at this church, and you can look him up on the internet. He used to do Martian movies, old monster movies back in the 50s. He was a professional wrestler. He had liquor, used to drink, he used to run around and chase women. I mean, there were women all over him all the time. And he got to a point in his life where he said, "It's a waste, it's nothing, it's a joke." He said, "I'm going to kill myself." He went to check into a cheap hotel with a pistol and a bottle of whiskey. And he sat down on the side of that bed and he reached over for, I can't remember if it was the pistol or the whiskey, and his hand laid on a Gideon Bible. And he took that thing for the first time. He's reading John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." You know what God did? God took a seed out of heaven and brought it all the way down to the earth and took his finger and poked it down into dirt. Let me ask you a question tonight. What did God make us out of? Look here. See all this dirt there? That's you. You're the dirt. You're of this earth. Paul said that we have this treasure in what? Earthen vessels. He wasn't kidding either. Okay? So watch this. Here is, you know what this seed is right here? That's the new man. That seed that's in, this dirt is you. That seed that is in you is the new man. It is the inner man. And if it's from God's true word, it's incorruptible. It'll produce incorruptible fruit. Amen? You ever tasted bad apples, bad pears, things like that. This old farmer down at Richwoods, he had a pear tree. That thing put out rotten, it put out the awfulest looking pears I'd ever seen in my life. It had some kind, it was something wrong with that tree. He said, doesn't matter. Every year, pears turn out real bad. You can't eat them. You don't even like to look at them. He said, all I do is when they come in, I shake the tree every now and then, call the cattle, and here they come. They come eating it. Deer will come eat it. But he said, for humans to eat, they're unfit. That tree has got something wrong in its seed when it was growing up, and it never will produce good pears. You think about that. There's some, how many things in this life won't save you forever? Amen? There's only one thing that will. It is the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. It is Jesus Christ Himself. And so what do? When someone's going to say, I want to come to the Lord, I want to go to heaven, we say, you need to accept Jesus, receive Jesus. You need to ask Jesus into your heart. What you're doing is, you're saying, God, send me the seed. So God takes the seed, the Word of God, and He plants it in the dirt of your life. He plants it in the good ground of your life. Does everybody understand that so far? So what I'm showing you is, this right here is the new man. This right here is the day you got saved. Because let me tell you what happens. Jesus said, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and do what? Die. So here's all those beans and that dried corn you got laying around, and our forefathers carried around all those seeds. And they'll stay that way for a long time. You just drop them down in the ground and give it a little scent of water, Job said. And what happens is the shell on the outside of that has got to die. Corruption has got to take place. What happens after that? There's something going to come up out of there. And I want you to compare this with this. This does not look anything like that. Amen? That's what Paul was teaching in 1 Corinthians 15. So I want you to understand this. This is what it looks like on the day that you got saved. God put his crucified Son, Jesus Christ, His crucified Son, and let me read the verses or I'm going to mess it up. Okay? Anyway, you kind of get where I'm going with this, all right? Now look at Romans 7:22. Romans 7:22. Romans 7, verse 22, for I delight in the law of God after what? The inward man. You see this thing right in here? That inward man in you loves the law of God. It's nutritious. Okay? It's full of nutrients and minerals and water and everything, like you kind of get the idea. Okay? By the way, see this soil here? That's good, rich, black, dark soil. How do you get that? How do you get good, rich soil that something's really going to grow well in? Corruption. You know why people who think they're really good will never be saved and the Word of God will have no effect in their life? They think in their minds that they're not like everybody else and they don't have the corruption that everybody else does. You know who makes the best Christians in the world? People who are the dirtiest, nastiest, most vile, wicked, heathen sinners. People, I've talked about Max Palmer a while ago. This guy was it. He was an adulterer. He was a drunkard. He was a fighter. He was a curser. He had so many devils on him, he was going to blow his brains out, and God saved him. God found the richest, most fertile dirt to put his seed in, and it took him all the way into heaven. He's now gone into glory now. He died, I think, I looked it up, 1984. He was here in 1982. You remember that, Linda? Okay. A big old fellow, wasn't he? Okay. God found the worst thing in the world to put his seed in, but seed of God's word thrives best. And those who know that they ain't made out of nothing but old rotten, nasty dirt and all the corruption that every, and really what that is, what the good ground is you who have already died to the old self. You've already came to the point to where you say, I'm tired of the old me. I want it gone. I want it dead. I want it out of here. Now that's dead, and God designed it this way that seeds just love it when something dead lands on top of them. They love it. What was it? The Indians talk to pilgrims and they come over here. Take some old dead fish. Put it in the ground. Why? Because that seed loves dead, rotten, nasty, smelly things. Amen? My dad, we used to keep a compost pile on everything. We didn't have a garbage disposal. Everything that we scraped off the table went down to the compost pile. And it was rotten and nasty and stinky and dirty. But boy, I tell you what, it was something. I will say the best tomato plants I ever saw out at our house was in our dog pen. We used to throw them scraps. We never did eat the tomatoes, but they looked pretty healthy. All right? So there, right here, is the new man. This new man is Christ. This new man is not the dirt around it. Don't let anybody mess you up on that. This is the old man. The old man always makes a good place for the new man. But the old man is not the new man. You want it drawn out for you better? Take your Bible and just open it up here to the division between the Old and the New Testament. See this right here? This is the old man. Do you know what makes the old man rotten? The laws that are in here. The laws that are in here makes us rotten. Sin was magnified when God gave Israel all those laws. It started out with just one thing in the Garden of Eden. Now it's 10 by the time they get to Mount Sinai. And that's what Paul's teaching us. He said, why was the law given? He said, to magnify sin. Why? So that Christ, when Christ died, he could just die for it all and conquer it all, and there ain't nothing too big for God. Amen? So that's what that's all about. So here's the old man and the new man, and they are not the same thing. Now look in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. I'm trying to keep you in a little bit of line here. Verse 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed. What are those last two words there? Look what's hidden right here. When you put the seed in the ground, you cover it up. How do you know what's down there? It's hidden inside of that dirt. But it's there. And one of these days, look at here. One of these days, it's going to be revealed what was in us. Isn't that something? I like this. Y'all must be tired. I like it. Let's see here. Where else can we go? Oh, look at this. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. Turn there and be quick about it. 2 Corinthians 4, 16. I might have so much fun tonight, I might preach till 5 minutes after 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. Hurry up. The Bible says, for which cause we faint not, but though, watch this now, though our outward man perish, where's the verse at? Yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Look at here. See this renewal? And what happens when this thing finally grows up and matures? It produces another seed, and that seed goes back down in the ground, starts it all over again. See, this Bible's right. Amen? And God uses the things in this world to show us His plan and how He works. He uses simple things so that we can know these things. So you understand this now so far, don't you? The inward man is not the outward man. The inward man didn't come from here. It came. Where do seeds come from in a tree? Up there. And they drop down. God's showing you a picture of these things. Amen. So anyway, that's 2 Corinthians 4. How about Colossians chapter 3? Turn there. Colossians chapter 3. You ought to be underlining these, writing notes down on it, getting happy about it. Colossians chapter 3, verse 9. Lie not to one another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge, after the image of him that created him. Now, here's what we said a while ago. What did we say this being was? What did we say that was? It's the Word. Who is it? See, what does that say there? It says it's renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Who created the seed? Jesus did. By him were all things created. So here he is right here, and he is living on the inside of you. And this seed here, when that shell comes off, that is the crucified Christ. That is him when he died. Okay? And what's going to happen is, I'll use this terminology. It's like Adam and Eve, the two, shall become one flesh. But not all in the same day. Just ask Lindsay. Okay? She's, according to everybody else, according to the doctors, she's 4 weeks away. And I watched her walk around here today, Brother George. And I'm going, that girl's ready. She wasn't ready a month ago, 2 months ago, 3 months ago, 4 months ago, 5 months ago, 6 months ago. She wasn't ready then. But she's getting ready now. Is that everybody understand that? I don't have to go any further than that, right? Amen? That's why I use this picture. It's a better picture. Amen? Here's the seed, and it's growing on the inside of us. And by the way, you get saved, and all of a sudden, you learn a little bit more about God. You learn a little bit more about the Bible. You learn a little bit more. You're not more saved 10 years down the road than you were the day that you got saved. You just know more about how it works. Amen? And you're a little bit stable, or a little bit more stable. But the older we get, the more we look forward to having that thing revealed in us, like Sister Waymeyer and Sister Aline. Let me hear you say amen. Man, I love this. I do. This God's so good to us. So that's a picture of the new man. Take your Bible, turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. Look at how Peter described it. Peter was actually talking to women, and he's telling women about how they should be and how they should act and everything like that. And look what he says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 3. He said, "Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on apparel." So let me illustrate it this way, the way we have this here. No one ever prints a magazine called America's Home and Dirt. Now it's America's Home and Garden. My meemaw, her garden and her yard was her pride. She won an award one year for Jacksonville, Arkansas, for having the best yard in all of Jacksonville, Arkansas. And I mean, she worked and she planted and she had roses and she had flowers and she had, I don't remember what all she had out there. But in its day, it was absolutely beautiful. You can't go out in your front yard, plow it all up, turn over every square inch of dirt and just leave that dirt out there and have the newspaper come out and take a picture of it. Okay? And you know what that, you know why I said that? When a woman, all that she has is the outward adorning, all she's trying to show you is the dirt. Because she don't have anything good on the inside. Isn't that how it works? Okay? So watch this. Verse 4. "But let it be the hidden man." You see, there he is right there. There's the hidden man. He's in there. And he's growing inside of that woman every day. And she comes to realize that her beauty that's going to last for time and eternity is not that outward dirt. It's the inward beauty. No magazine ever came out to Festus, Missouri. No beauty magazine took a picture of Sister Waymeyer to put it in their magazine. Because she was old, 96 years old. She just wasn't the beauty queen that maybe she was at one time. But those of us that knew her knew that there was a hidden man in there. And that's where her real beauty was. Can I hear you say, you better say amen, I'll pop you. And I'll tell Brother Jim, you didn't say something nice about his mama, all right? But that's what it's, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in which is not corruptible. Even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God, a great price. Why did he say it's not corruptible? Because everybody has known since the beginning of time that women in their youth, they start out beautiful. As age progresses, there's just not anything, there's nothing in the world worse than seeing some 80-year-old woman who's trying to look 18 again. Either in her dress or with the surgery. Okay? It just doesn't work. You're not fooling anybody. That's what he's getting at. I'm not trying to be mean, ladies. I really am not. That's what he's getting at here. You want beauty? Every woman wants beauty. There is nothing more beautiful than that. And God will do that inside of you. Amen. God will give you that beautiful, beautiful thing on the inside of you. How much time have I got left? I've got, oh, I want to go through this so quickly. But then I want to dig deep into it. Let me run through some verses very fast, and I'm going to just kind of show you some of the things that the Bible said was in us that matches this seed here. All right? He said in Ephesians 3:20, "Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." Now I want you to think of that, the seed. I want you to think of that new man. I want you to think of Christ living inside of you. That's the power of God. What is it that gives that seed power to do what it does? Nobody knows. But I don't care where you throw a seed, it's going to find, I don't care how many layers of blacktop you put down, the dead grass seed underneath is going to find a way to get out of there. Somebody say amen. 2 Timothy 1:14, "That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us." 1 John 1:8, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." 1 John 1:10, "If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word," the seed, "is not in us." 1 John 3:24, "He that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us." It's Christ, it's the Holy Spirit, it's God dwelling on the inside of us. 1 John 4:12, "No man has seen God at any time." Do you believe that? Say amen. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. You know what I like to hear from church people? They say, "You know, before I was saved, I hated church. I hated church people. I hated preachers. I hated Bibles. I hated Bible tracts. I hated everything about it. And when God saved me, all of a sudden now, I'm just, are we ready to go to church yet? Honey, we got to go to church. Can we get to church? Let's get to church." Amen. Just, and see, that's God. That's that new thing on the inside of you. The old dirt. Don't want to go. New man does. 1 John 4:13, "Hereby we know that we dwell in him and he in us because he hath given us of his Spirit." 2 John 1:2, "For the truth's sake which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever." That's what the Bible says. Romans 8:9, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." He said in verse 10, "And if Christ be in you," think of that seed in the dirt, "the body is dead because of sin." Do you see it? What is it that this dirt, this good, rich, black soil is? It's full of dead stuff. That's what he said here in Romans 8:10. The body is dead. Why? Sin killed it. And be honest, we are fighting off corruption every day we wake up and get out of bed. Our bodies are desperately trying to fight off the corruption. The corruption's already in there. Because all you have to do is quit breathing, your heart quit beating. And buddy, I'm telling you what, corruption starts in right then and there because it's already there. Romans 8:11, "But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken," look at here, "your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you." What does that mean? Does that mean he's going to make this flesh perfect? No. But here's this mortal body that a seed has been planted into, 1 Corinthians 15, here's what he's going to do. He's going to turn it into, by the way, the plant that comes up doesn't look like the dirt that it was planted in, does it? 1 Corinthians 3:16, know you not that you are the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwelleth where? In you. 1 Corinthians 6:19, what? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own. 1 Corinthians 14:25, and thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest, and so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. That if anybody could say anything about Bethel Church, I'd want them to know if they came here and visited one time, they would say, God's in this place. It's all I care about. So then, watch 2 Corinthians 4:12. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourselves to see whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus is in you, except you be reprobates. What do you think it takes to be reprobate dirt? What do you think it takes for a farmer who's plowed a piece of ground for 20 years and it's never done any good? He finally just does what? Give up. Can't get nothing to grow out of it. Give up or try to sell it to somebody. Let them worry about it. But the farmer decides, I can't do anything with this thing. It's reprobate. That's what reprobate means. You've been through the probation, you've been tried, you've been tested, and it ain't happening. And I'm telling you, there's a lot of reprobate people running around here. Amen. We don't know who they are, but God does. Now listen to this. Turn your Bible to Galatians chapter 4, verse 19. It's still not 5 after 8 yet. Galatians 4:19. You turn there and I'm going to read some more. Ephesians 4:6. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Isn't that neat how the Bible says that Christ is in us? And then it says the Holy Spirit is in us. And then it says God is in you all. Isn't that neat? Because in Christ dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. When you take Christ, you've got the whole deal. Amen? Philippians 1:6, being confident is the very thing that he... What? Oh, like I like this one. I just listen to this one. Being confident is the very thing that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Isn't that beautiful? Look at that. That verse is this picture right here. God came and he did a good work in you, Tammy. He planted a seed down in your heart. He found good, rich, good soil because it was full of dead things. Amen. And God's going to work that ground. He's the husbandman. He's going to work that ground. He's going to tend to that. He's going to have the doctrine come down from heaven like the gentle showers. He's going to feed it. He's going to water it. He's going to have all kinds of stuff done to it because he's waiting for the day of the harvest when it all comes in. Galatians 4:19. Here's another verse that draws this picture perfectly. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. Young Christians, when they just get saved, they've got the seed there. But it's just like a young lady who finds out she's going to have a baby. She knows that it's not time yet. It's not happening yet. But when it's time, when God says it's time, that which is hidden on the inside of her is going to come forth. Now, usually, it's going to happen with travail. It's going to be with sorrow. Am I right? And I want to tell you something. You guys listen to me. Every good work that God has ever produced out of me has been through sorrow first. Travail. Testing times. Things that hurt. Labor. They call it labor for a reason, don't they, ladies? It's work. Okay? My wife never sweats, except for when she had babies. Okay? That's what it is. And every good thing, every good fruit that God pulls out of us, always going to be through travail, suffering. It's always going to be that way. And you know what? John 16 tells us, when a woman is in labor, she's having sorrow because of her travail. But the moment that child is born, what happened to all that travail? Ladies, you tell me, I don't know. It's gone. It's over with. You don't even remember it. It's all over with, and you just, oh look, there's our child. That's what that is. The worker works hard at putting that seed in, getting that ground right. But when he sits down, my dad used to have a favorite saying, Brother George. We'd sit down at dinner table and mom would hand out stuff and dad would say, that slept in the garden last night. He said that. I ain't care. He said it. We had beans and we had tomatoes and we had fried okra and we had good stuff. And dad would always, he'd never let it slip. That slept in the garden last night. And I finally realized why he said that. He's proud of it. He worked his tail off. Sometimes he worked my tail off. Do you understand this? You understand that that's your new man? Okay? Now, there is a passage here that I want to get to. I don't know if I don't have this in my notes, I'm going to go beat myself. It's in 1 John. Some of you might know where it is and be able to point me in the direction of it. 1 John. But it says, that which is born of God sinneth not. Okay? Huh? Does anybody know where that is? That which is born of God sinneth not. I thought that was in my notes, sinneth not. How I missed that one? Does anybody know where it is? You find it, you holler out while I'm going to show you this. Okay? See all this nasty dirt here? That was not born of God. This flesh body that you see me in tonight was not born of God. It was born of Adam. Adam was a sinner. Adam made Cain, who was his firstborn son, was a murderer. Killed his secondborn son. Thirdborn son, Seth, he inherits the sin gene of Adam. He passes it on down to Enos. Enos passes it on down to his children. Methuselah ends up with it, gives it to Lamech. Lamech gives it to Noah. Noah gives it to his three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And in what? 1 John 3, turn there, okay? And he passed that down to us. And in this body right here, this thing made out of dirt, is full of sin. And there's no way around it. But God designed it that way. God had a purpose for it. When God said, all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and are the called according to his purpose, did he mean that? Was God lying? Is that just for the nice rich Christians you see on TBN? That applies to everybody who is in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's you. And he meant that. And I'm even the stupid stuff that you did in your life is part of all things working together for good to them that love the Lord and are the called according to His purpose. So God found some good ground to plant some seed in. And He knows how it's going to turn out. In 1 John chapter 3, this passage is used by people, and I want you to listen to me. They're dangerous. They're deadly dangerous. They will use this passage to try to convince you that if you're really saved, you don't do any sin anymore. That's dangerous. You know why it's dangerous? Because it'll convince people that they're not ever saved and never going to be saved. That is contrary to what God said. And watch this. He said, verse 8. Look at verse 8. Let's get a little context here and then I want to be done. He that committeth sin is of the devil. See this dirt? That's the devil's dirt. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested. Why? Because people sin and were of the devil. My mama told me that once. You're of the devil. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that He might destroy what? The works of the devil. How did He do it? He died. And in His death, He destroyed the works of the devil. Corruption. Okay? So now this is incorruptible. By the way, look at here, look at here. When Jesus' body lay in the tomb for 2 days, did it stink? Did it rot? Was those arms coming off? Uh-uh. God would not allow His Holy One to see corruption. Woo! This is good, amen? Because see this dirt right here? That's the tomb, too. This is what we do when we bury people. We stick them down in corruption. Okay? And let corruption have its way on the shell of that outer body. So watch this. Now look at verse 9. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. For his what? Seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. This seed, if it's the incorruptible word of God, it never becomes corrupt. It is never defiled. It is never become dirtied and decayed by sin, because that which is born of God is the Son of God, and the Son of God is sinless. Does everybody understand that? Here's the difference between the new man and the old man. This, all this out here, that's the old man. Of course it's sin. What's inside of you? The inner man, the new man? It doesn't. And you know what I know? It never will. Never will. Why? Because it's the Son of God. The Son of God doesn't sin. Does that make sense to everybody? You're going to die. Short of the Lord coming, you're going to die. And they're going to take this corruption and they're going to let corruption have it. I don't care how good they embalm it, it still corrupts. Okay? It still corrupts. But what was inside of you was just waiting for that day. Does that make sense to everybody? Okay? Listen, God's better to you than you are to yourself sometimes, because you will beat yourself to death thinking that you're never going to make it to heaven, because there's still stuff that we hate covering what's really on the inside of us, and that's that new man. You want God to have patience with you? Raise your hand if you want God to have patience with you. How about you have patience with God? And let Him wait until the baby's due. Does that make sense? Won't you have patience with God and wait until God says, now it's time. Now we're going to have a new man.